KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. We talked about this ship yesterday that was listing off the coast of Norway. Now they're going to try to hook up a tug to it before it flips over and causes a huge disaster. Oil and gas all over the joint, right?
A race against time on stormy seas. Norwegian officials race to prevent an abandoned transport ship from sinking. The Eemslift Hendrika, stuck in the North Sea and listing dangerously in 50-foot waves, dozens of miles off the coast of Norway. The ship has been drifting empty since Monday, and officials fear it may capsize, spilling tons of oil into the ocean. Now the race is on to seize the ship before it's too late. A specialist team mobilized, sending a powerful anchor tugboat to its location.
The plan is to lower a specialized group of people that will be trying to get on the ship and to connect the tow to tugboats.
Meanwhile, footage newly released shows a daring rescue on Monday, with helicopters and rescue boats saving the crew members on board. Some leaping into the frozen waters as the ship tilted dangerously. The water temperatures in the low 40s. Others airlifted to safety, hoisted up from the deck one by one by the rescue teams, all now safe. With the crew safely on dry ground, attention now on getting the ship to calmer waters and back to shore before time runs out.
Yeah, before it flips over. Oh, man. All right, we've all seen grocery prices go up. What's fueling that? Let's find out.
Analysts say on top of the pandemic, truck driver shortages and this winter's severe storms are in part fueling the uptick in prices.
The whole supply chain is increasing and nobody wants to absorb that cost. So unfortunately, the person or people that are going to bear it are the consumers.
A growing list of popular companies recently raising prices. General Mills, maker of Cheerios, announcing it's increasing prices to offset higher freight manufacturing and commodity prices.
No, not Cheerios.
Hormel charging more for products like Jennie-O ground turkey in light of higher grain costs. And the price of a jar of Jif peanut butter is higher than a year ago because maker J.M. Smucker says its costs are meaningfully higher.
Who eats that ground turkey? I always see that at the market, and I don't see anyone ever grab for it. You ever eat that, Crozier?
I use it, yeah.
Ground turkey?
Yeah.
What do you put it in?
I'll substitute like ground beef, go a little bit healthier.
Oh, so like a burger?
Yeah, I'll do turkey burgers, yeah.
I'm not eating at your house.
No.
You use it, Belia?
All the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like a staple in our house. We ground
ground
it up.
Turkey?
We ground it up and we put like, you know, seasoning in it and we use it for either to make quick little burritos or tacos or put it
Sick.
In a salad.
What? Sick woman.
Come on.
What do you use it, Russ?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bell peppers. My wife makes them with
cheese
and ground turkey. It's hey, so good.
Kayla, save me here and tell me that these guys are crazy. Or do you use it too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's healthier than ground beef.
So. Really?
Sounds like you're
it
the oddball out this
what
time.
What is your problem with ground turkey?
Ground turkey?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that turkey is just cruising around. You grind his ass up.
What?
You know? Just the visual of it. You just
but it's okay with the cow?
Listen, the cow is bred for that kind of crap. Angel, do you like ground turkey?
Oh, yeah. I make turkey balls out of it.
Turkey balls?
Yeah, really? What are meatballs? Turkey balls.
I see. Nice, do you have to explain that it's actually not turkey balls when people are eating over?
Sometimes I get weird looks. They're like, what?
Oh, yeah. Turkey
like,
balls.
Come on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do?
You know what?
Sometimes.
When I was a kid, my grandmother used to make turkey neck soup. Your grandmother?
Oh, yes.
You ever do that? There's so much flavor in that neck. Oh, man.
I was explaining to somebody the other day about how when I was a kid, it was that right around Thanksgiving time,
right.
And you had all the parts of the turkey. You had the giblets and all that stuff, and they would boil that turkey neck. And I would eat, I would go through the meat on that turkey neck. And now I think about it and I go, oh, what was I doing?
I know. In the same way, when I was a kid, I'd eat a turkey neck. There's a lot of bones in it, though.
Yes.
But now I'm looking and I go, wow, I ate that crap when I was a kid. Man, oh, man. My grandmother, we didn't like beans in our chili, and she made the best chili in the world. I wish I had that recipe, man. That's one thing I regret that I didn't grab before she moved on. But, she used to make chili, and we hated beans, so we'd pull the beans out of it and just leave the beans on her plate. And then she got smart. She goes, I'll make it without beans. I'm like, all right. So she made it for the whole summer, like maybe once a week, once every other week, and we ate it the whole summer. And then right around August 30th or 1st of September, we're going to go back to California. She made it, And I look in the trash can and there's an empty can of beans. I go, hey, what's the empty can of beans? And she goes, oh, no. She goes, don't worry. There's no beans in it. She would grind them up in a blender and stick them in the in the chili.
That is so smart.
I know. And now I'm looking. I'm like, okay, that's why there's a little, you know, bean skins in there. I
but you ate it, though, right?
I get it. It was great. It was the best chili ever. And,
did your mom, when you didn't like something and they break it down, you like the meat. Yeah. You right. like the this. You like the this. Then right. we'll like this.
And she, my mother was always the, you're going to eat, you're going to stay here until you finish.
Me too.
And it was sometimes like 9:30.
Oh, yeah. The dishwasher was running. The lights were out. I'm sleeping.
Right, at the table.
Yes.
Yeah. But man, they made us eat. Now it's like when kids say, I don't like that. Like, oh, okay, don't eat it. Don't eat it. You don't have to eat it.
Was it not prepared properly?
Go watch TV. Why don't you watch TV? I'll get you McDonald's or something.
Grab your iPad. We're going to Mickey D's.
Right, exactly. Yeah, back then it was, you sit your little ass down and finish that, or I'm going to knock your face into it.
Oh.
All right. Well, let me taste it again then. What the hell? Grocery shortage and prices going through the roof.
To save at checkout, experts recommend trying apps like Ibotta, which gives cash back on purchases, and Basket, which compares prices between stores near you. Also, stock up when the price is right.
Yeah.
You've got to think about what you routinely use, and if you see it
stock up.
And the prices of just about everything but beef are expected to keep going up this year.
Ah, you turkey idiots. You're going to pay more for your turkey balls. Well, I eat beef for free.
And the prices of just about everything but beef are expected to keep going up this year. And it's not just supermarkets that are impacted. Costs at restaurants are climbing as well.
Yeah, we're all paying for it, man. Everybody's going to have to come out with much more money. All right, we're going to open up, ladies and gentlemen. We're opening up on June 15th. Let's take a break and come back and see what's opening up on June 15th. All right, we're live on KFI. It's Conway Show. More now with Crozier. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. Dodgers are going to get their World Series ring on Friday. And Rick Monday is going to get a ring for announcing. And he also has a ring for playing. I think he got, in 1981, I think he got a World Series ring. Might be the only announcer to get a World Series ring as a player and an announcer for the same team. Maybe not. There's a lot of players that go into announcing.
How about Oral?
Oral Hershiser, yeah, right.
I think he, because he got a ring too, and yeah, then he'll probably get one for this round,
you're
too.
You're right. Yeah, he's definitely going to get a ring. He's one of their announcers, and he got a ring in 1988. He's the last two times the Dodgers got a ring, he got one. You know, he got one in 88, and then he got one in 2020. Interesting. 2020, right. Interesting. All right. Here, let's do a quick whip around. You got the whip around music handy? All right. Here's the whip around. How much do the rings cost each? The rings cost blank a piece. How much do the World Series rings cost the team?
Now, is there a difference in sports?
This is for baseball. World Series ring. But it probably different, yeah, with sports.
I'm betting half of our team knows.
Oh, I'll bet you they don't. Bellio, what does a World Series ring cost?
I'm going with $16,000.
No, Kayla.
A million. I don't do sports.
How much?
You don't know how much a ring costs?
A million.
Well, it's
a million.
It's a million. It's a World Series ring.
Okay. It's not a million. Russ.
I'm going to go $4,500.
$4,500? No, these are real rings. Crozier.
I'm going to go $25,000.
$25,000. No. Angel.
$25,001.
Ooh, I see what you're doing there, but you went the wrong direction. All right, Tony.
Loser.
$40,000.
Wait.
No.
So he's not listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's
Tim, what do you think?
Wait, we got Andrew here. I'm training as an anchor.
Oh, Andrew. Okay, Andrew. World Series ring. What do you think it costs?
Easily $12,000.
$12,000. All right. The actual retail price is $20,000. $20,000. But the Chicago Cubs theirs were much more expensive because they had 214 diamonds in theirs.
Whoa.
I think one for each year they didn't get it. and that cost $70,000. But they could retail for as much as 40 grand. $20,000 a piece. And our buddy, David Vasse, is going to get one.
Yep.
He's going to wear that ring.
Yes, he will.
Wow. That's great. He's a jewelry guy anyway. You know, he's got always got like earrings and
really,
yeah,
he's got like big rope chains.
Yeah, he's got that tongue stud that's always getting in his way.
Nipple little rings. Waist chain,
tennis bracelet. He's got all kinds of
toe ring,
puka shells working, S chain,
puka shell.
Yeah, he's got an anklet. He's loaded, man. He's a TSA's nightmare. He walks
he's
through.
He's got
there.
That gem in his belly button.
Yeah, right. He's got his butt. Oh, he didn't tell you?
No.
Right. I'll let him tell you.
I love how the team, they roast him all the time. Like, the players are constantly taking jabs at him.
And it's so are Petros and Money when he's on with them.
You know why? Because they love the guy so much, too.
What the hell's that?
You know, he's...
That's how they say he talks, like...
I know, yeah.
Don't talk about me like
no, this used to be when we worked down there because it's like they do an impersonation of him it's calling funny. On the phone. Hi, Mom, it's me, David Vasse. He is the sweetest guy. He got mad at me, so he loves Magic Johnson. Like, that's one of his idols.
Right.
We were at a Laker game and Magic, nobody was around him. So David came up and he goes, will you do me a favor and take me up? I'm going to ask if it's okay to get a picture. And I'm like, yeah, of course. So I took it. It was blurry.
Oh, no.
I still haven't lived that down. He will not let me take any photos of
him. You took just the one photo? Was it a camera?
Yeah.
Like a film camera?
It was a phone.
It's Magic.
Oh, it was a phone? And so you couldn't take multiple shots?
It was, you know,
was he running out of film?
No. I wasn't wearing glasses, and I took it, and I did it in a hurry, and I only took one, and it was blurry.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, he was very upset.
I bet, right? Although, you know what? I think that's more interesting.
I don't think that
photo up and everyone goes, well, who is that? It's me and Magic Johnson. Really?
Anybody.
It could be a guy at the DuPars. No, it's Magic Johnson and me. Well, who took it? Bellio.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that makes sense. She's horrible at pictures.
She is.
Yeah. She's the worst photographer ever. I thought you were a wedding photographer before you got into radio.
I was.
That's so crazy, though.
But that's what happened.
Yeah. Right.
The photos were really blurry.
By the way, I heard a story about you at the where you were doing a wedding in Denver. I'm not going to tell you who told me this. But
I'll know who told you.
The groom got really drunk and hit on you at the wedding.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
At the wedding.
I have photos of it.
But was it like aggressive or just like, that's a cute hat?
No, it was aggressive.
Really?
It was over the top.
My God. And did you tell anybody or?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I would keep that.
What am I going to? I don't want to ruin her day. He probably was drinking and.
Yeah, you know what? This is so great. I got to share this with you. This is great. This happened. I'm going to separate this from my friends. All right. I'll just say Larry down the hall. His wife said, hey, is your buddy Steve having an affair? And Larry said, I don't know. I'm not sure. And his wife said to Larry, if your buddy Steve is having an affair, you should tell his wife. And he's like, what? That's my best friend. He goes, yeah, that's why you should tell his wife if he's having an affair. And like, that's for him to discuss with her. I'm not going to play that game. But can you imagine that? Like, you go to your best friend and you go, oh, I think your wife's cheating on you. Right? Or you think your husband's cheating on you?
That's such a tricky one because it's like.
Tricky?
No, in the sense that that shouldn't be on him to do that, to tell.
Well, it's like somebody said, you know, with this whole thing that happened at the Capitol on January 6th, that there are some people ratting out their family members. You know, like, oh, my dad was there. My mom was there. If my dad had, like, you know, killed a van full of, I don't know, religious people and I found out, I still wouldn't rat him out. I'd never rat my dad out. That's crazy.
I know.
My dad could kill somebody in front of me, and I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry I saw that.
I looked away.
I wouldn't go to cops.
I saw that. I looked away. Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, guy deserved it, right? What the hell?
Well, maybe we understand Roxy a little better.
That's right. Can you imagine that? Ratting out your dad for something. God almighty.
Clearly, the relationship wasn't good.
Kidding. Yeah. Well, a lot of the guys being ratted out in the Capitol are from ex-girlfriends and ex-wives.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
that considerable makes much more sense.
But there are also some guys who have never been to Washington, D.C., who now have to tell everybody that they're innocent. Because their wife just made it up. Their ex-wife, made it up.
Revenge.
Like, yeah, I saw Dale there.
So they're being investigated.
Yeah, right. He was with the what was the guy with the crazy hat on?
Oh, I forget.
The Viking?
Yeah. The Viking guy. Yeah, so I'm right next to that Viking guy.
The shaman.
Yeah, right.
The shaman, yeah.
The shaman. That's great, man. It's unbelievable. All right, I know we got to take a break. I get it. All right, we're live on KFI. KFI AM 640 Conway Show, June 15th is the day that everything's opening up, man. Open it up, right? Open them up, man. Come on.
Open them up, boy.
Come on.
Open
them
up.
Open
them
up.
Open them up.
Let's open up.
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 Push those doors open, man. Yeah, got to open up. All right, June 15th is the day, right?
As the state is trying to move forward to that big reopening on June 15th, officials say they're very carefully looking at the numbers. For that plan to work, it requires that the case rates stay low. And for that, officials say people simply need to get vaccinated. That's why as supplies of vaccines increases, they're urging people to get their shot.
The positivity rate in Los Angeles County is stable at 3.1%.
Good. Let's go. Let's open everything up then.
But there are now more variants in our area. Officials say they have found the South African and Brazilian variants, as well as the UK variant.
With the majority of variants identified in LA County this week being variants of concern, it's more important than ever that we take a lot of our precautions, particularly during our reopening, so that we limit increases in community transmission.
God, does she sound depressed, huh? What happened to her? Right? She always sounds like she's suicidal.
Particularly during our reopening, so that we limit increases in community transmission.
A pop-up vaccination site in downtown Los Angeles. This one at the Grand Central Market and next door at the Million Dollar Theater. It was set up to encourage restaurant workers and their families to get vaccinated.
Today we're bringing vaccines to some of the Angelenos who have been on the front lines this entire year.
Officials say they are now getting enough vaccines, and there is enough capacity to administer all of them and more. Very soon, however, they might not have...
By the way, do we have any Angelenos on the show? Do you live in the city of Los Angeles, Russ?
No, just L.A. County.
What city?
Laverne.
Oh, Laverne.
Yeah.
All right. Kaylee, are you in the city of L.A.?
I am not, no.
Bellio's not. Tony, are you in the city of L.A.? Where are you?
No, I'm in Fullerton.
Fullerton? Crozier, you're not in the city, right?
Nope.
I know Angel's not. I'm not.
I was born there.
I was born there, too. I was born at Cedars of Lebanon, which is now a Scientology building.
Where my ancestors settled the area of Los Angeles over by Alvera Street.
Really?
Yes.
That's how far back you go in your ancestry?
Yeah, that's why my name is Angelena.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, Angelena. All right. Why don't you use that name? That's awesome.
Okay, I'll do that on my next lockout, and I'll throw in some rolling R's.
All right. Okay. How is that name properly sound? What is it?
Angelena.
Angelena.
Fernandez.
All right.
Martinez. All
right. That's great.
Very soon, however, they might not have enough people for all the vaccines that will be available. That's why they're urging.
Wait, there's not enough people? We have too much vaccine now?
Very soon, however, they might not have enough people for all the vaccines that will be available. That's why they're urging people to make appointments and get vaccinated.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. They're going to have too much vaccines, we have to make an appointment?
Very soon, however, they might not have enough people for all the vaccines that will be available. That's why they're urging people to make appointments and get vaccinated.
We want you to know you need to get your vaccine, and we will help you get it done. We're making it easier to get this free shot that will protect you, that will protect your families. It doesn't matter your immigration status. It doesn't matter your background or your age. We will get the job done.
Health officials say they now have vaccinated about 3 million people across Los Angeles County. They say they need to at least double that number over the next several months.
The timing of the vaccination clinics here today couldn't come at a better time.
Sure it could have. Could have come last year.
Come at a better time. We are in a critical race to get as many people as possible vaccinated before the coronavirus variants gain a deeper foothold in our communities.
Officials say the good news is, as we see an increase in vaccinations, they're obviously seeing a big drop in cases, but we're still in the orange tier. They still worry about community transmission.
Whatever. All right, the Moderna vaccine. Let's see how long this sucker's good for.
The makers of the Moderna vaccine now say research so far shows protection from the vaccine lasts at least 6 months.
Okay, that's great, right? That's cool.
This is similar to news that Pfizer released last week. Health reporter and registered nurse Allie Gorman joining us tonight with more details on that. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Rick. Yeah, and this is great news. That's been one of the questions all along. How long will the vaccines last, and will we need a booster?
Well, hold on, Allie. I just told you it was 6 months. You're not listening to me.
Shows protection from the vaccine lasts at least 6 months.
Didn't you hear that part?
Sure. And while the antibodies are just one part of the immune system, experts say this high level of antibody response is a good sign the vaccine continues to provide protection at least 6 months after that second dose. Now, as to how long it will last overall, that still remains to be seen. But experts are optimistic given the data so far.
You know, I was talking with texting with Dr. Ray Kasheri. And he said because this RNA vaccine was developed so quickly, and they've been working on this for 30 years, by the way, but because they developed this vaccine, that the next time there's a huge illness, the new vaccine is going to take like 4 to 8 months to create. And so this is going to lead to a lot of vaccine in the future for, you know, different ailments and different viruses. And he said this is a huge, huge game changer, this vaccine.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see that these vaccines actually protect us for a year or longer. The antibody responses are just so high, and they seem to be sticking around for a long time. That really is a perfect recipe for long-term protection.
Yeah, it's great news.
And virologist Dr. Scott Hensley with Penn Medicine says they are also doing their own research to test how long the vaccines last. He says variants could come into play. That's something scientists are watching closely. But so far, the vaccines we have authorized here are effective against the predominant variants that we're seeing in the United States.
That's cool. All right, there's a cruise line that is threatening to take all their ships out of U.S. waters. We'll come back and tell you what that is. And we'll also check in with George Norrie. It's Conway Show. We're live on KFI AM 640. More now with Crozier. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. George Norrie's coming up at a few minutes here. George, what's on the big show tonight, bub?
Tim, a classic coast-to-coast tonight. Our giants still roaming the planet. And later on in the show, Daryl Sims joins us. He is called the Alien Hunter.
Ooh.
Guess what he's going to talk about right here on Coast to Coast.
I'll be there.
All right. See
you
soon.
Thanks, man. All right. There he goes. George Norrie and Coast to Coast. All right. Cruise lines have had it very tough over the last year. I think we all know. I think a lot of people have had it tough. But these cruise lines, they're not back to 10% or 20% or 30%. They still can't cruise out of America, and I imagine the United States is the biggest cruise market in the world, you know, because we're all, you know, fat and we'll pay to get on a floating buffet for 2 weeks.
Carnival Cruise Line is threatening to move its ships out of U.S. waters after having to cancel all cruises leaving from the U.S. through June 30th. This comes as the CDC published its second phase of its conditional sailing order. Under the order, there are new benchmarks that cruise lines need to reach before carrying passengers, but there is no update on when ships will be able to sail again in U.S. waters. Carnival says it is offering guests with canceled cruises options for a future cruise credit with added onboard credits or a full refund.
Yeah. I'd probably go for that.
Or a full refund.
Yeah. Bellio, I don't know if I don't know this about you. I know a lot about you, but I don't know this about you. Are you a cruise gal?
No.
Not at all.
I would go on a short one, but I do not want to be those stories about them losing their, you know,
the motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
towed back for 3 years.
No.
I mean, it literally took them. I think there was one cruise ship that took 5 to 7 days being towed back with no electricity, no food.
That was just recent, right? That was. I think I'm claustrophobic.
And everyone's sleeping on the deck under like tents, and there was sort of like it was a homeless cruise. I would do it. I think the chances of you losing power are pretty slim, but I can't get my wife or daughter to do it. My daughter said she would only do it if we could always see land. And I'm like, I don't know how to ask the captain to, you know, to do that.
Drive along the coast.
Yeah. Just drive along the coast. Don't hit anything, but let me see land.
I wouldn't mind a short one, just a couple days, maybe.
Like an Ensenada, Mexico, back to the United States. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Bob's your uncle. Yeah.
How about those Viking cruises? Would you do those, Conway?
What's the
those are the long ones where you go from like different countries.
Oh yeah,
really?
I would do it. Like my dream would be on it to be on a cruise that lasted like 6 months. You know, where you go to like 20 different countries. That would be great.
Who are you kidding? That's not your dream. That is so the opposite of who you are.
Yeah. I know you like boats, though.
Oh, that's right. It is not my dream. I think it was Crozier's dream. No, mine was owning a horse that won the Kentucky Derby.
That's my dream. Okay, yeah.
That's my dream. Sorry, Crozier. I had your dream.
Have you ever been, like, they have this up on, you know, Carnival Cruises. How many decks is that? How many floors?
Probably 12. 12 to 15.
No, thanks.
You don't like that?
Mm-mm.
Does John like it?
Nope. That's one thing we totally agree on.
Really?
We're okay not going on cruises.
I'm trying to get on with it. I just can't do it. You know, I can't get my wife to do it. And I even, look, I even, you know, offer to, you know, maybe try to talk to the captain about hugging the shore. And she's like, just not into it.
Well, you went with your mom?
I went with my mom on a cruise, very fancy cruise when I was... I even play this song for my wife. I'm like, come on, look.
That doesn't win her over?
No.
I would go on the Love Boat.
This is what started cruising. Every cruise line says this show is responsible for the explosion in cruises. Here we go.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you in love. Life's sweetest reward.
Sweetest reward.
Let it float. It floats back to you. The Love Boat. Soon we'll make it another stop.
Another run, sorry.
Something for everyone.
Set a course for adventure. Your mind on a new romance.
There you go.
Love.
You know, I heard a great story. That song was written by a friend of mine's dad, my buddy Robbie Fox. His dad is Charlie Fox. And he wrote that song. And he wrote it for Aaron Spelling. Aaron Spelling was the executive producer. And he goes into Fox Studios to play him the theme song, you know, Love Boat. And he brings it in a cassette. He had recorded it, it's on a cassette. Well, they couldn't find a cassette player in the entire studio. They took an hour, like, asking everybody, you have a cassette player, cassette? And we can go into somebody's car. And Aaron goes, I'm not going into somebody's car to listen to a theme song. And they said to Charlie, can you play it on a piano? And Charlie's a great piano player. He goes, yeah, I'll play it on a piano. All right. Well, has anybody got a piano? No piano. There's not a piano on the Fox lot, right? There's no piano, no cassette player. So there's like 15 executives, you know, and they all want to hear the song. So Aaron Spelling says, I hate to do this to you, but can you sing the song for us?
A cappella.
And Charlie Fox is not a singer. But he sang it for them, and they fell in love with it so much just off him singing that song that they bought it instantly.
That is a great
story. Isn't that great?
That is such a great story.
It's like such a great Hollywood story. Like, you can't find a cassette player or a piano. This is the entertainment capital of the world. It should be a piano in every office.
What year is this? Like 76, 77?
Ooh, I don't know when Love Boat started. It was probably a year before it actually, let's see, Love Boat. When did it start here? Love Boat started in 1977. You're right. Yeah, so it's 1976. And they couldn't find a cassette player anywhere. Yeah, my mom was a life master at bridge, and she was going to be teaching bridge on a cruise, and she could take one of her kids for like $100 for the whole cruise. And so she took me, and it was the first 2 weeks of high school. Everyone else was in high school, and I was on a cruise with my mom. And I was the youngest person on that cruise by about 50 years. There was I was 15, and the next closest person to my age was a young lady who was about 52. So there was a lot for me to do. But I remember winning at bingo. I played bingo every day because there was nothing to do. And it was, you paid $20 for a card, which was a lot, right? But my mom just said, here, it's 20, go play bingo, get out of my, you know, hair. And I won a fur coat, right? You know, because they assume some old lady's going to win.
Right.
And my mom said, you know, because I brought back this fur coat, this long, you know,
that's a big win.
Full length fur coat. And I said, I don't know what to do with it. And she goes, well, I'll buy it from you for $500. I'm like, $500, it's yours, right? And she gave me $500 for it. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I had $500. I'm starting high school. And then I, like, 2 years later, I look up and it's worth like $18,000.
It really was?
Yeah. Like $12,000 to $18,000. And I'm like, wow, man, I got screwed by my mom on the high seas. That's wild. That's crazy, man. What other kid, 15-year-old kid can say that? They got screwed by their mom on the high seas. Taken like a chump that I was. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640.